Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Stand By Your Band. I'm Tom Takar, the Wolf of Dog Street, for another week. Joined, as always, by the Prince of Snarkness himself, Tommy McNamara. How are you, pal?
I'm doing all right. I was tired, and then I was reinvigorated by pop punk.
Yes, that'll happen.
Second wave pop punk is the best part of waking up, I've often said. Here we are.
We are, of course, joined by the man who brought us this pop punk today, Mike Carrazza, the musical man himself, the creator of our theme song. You just heard his voice there.
What's up, baby?
Pretty exciting.
Hell yeah.
How are you, man?
I'm doing all right. Things are going okay up here. I'm in Montreal, but going back to Toronto in a couple weeks. And
oh, shit.
Yeah. It's been cool.
Yeah, Montreal.
What's it like in Canada? Is everyone still wearing masks and stuff, or are you guys way ahead of us?
Yeah, people are still wearing masks. It's just tough to say because some people are not. And then you're like, is this because we're doing better or because they're awful? And so, like, it's tough to say. It's just that we're not as densely populated as you guys. So it's sure. Hitting a little less hard. And we're also lucky that we had like a government assistance thing for a while that helped keep people indoors for longer. And
yeah.
So
it sounded like you guys were not getting a nice little chunk of change. And then, yeah. And it is good that you guys stayed indoors for longer because you guys do spit when you talk more. So I think that that's important. It's a famous Canadian stereotype.
Yeah. It's a part of the Canadian identity that's not discussed as much as it should be.
And especially the French part. Every other fucking word. They're getting droplets everywhere. They're really, really stretching those words out.
That's why the floor is so wet just for laughs time.
I'm coming in a rough spot today. I had an issue yesterday with my sink. It's clogged, and then it overran while I was out running. And now apparently I owe the rest of my life to a building in New York that apparently I completely ruined with 15 minutes of my water overflowing. So if this is the last episode of the podcast, I'm in prison now. maybe we can do like an Adnan Syed thing where you call in. And it's like calling from collect call from New York State Penitentiary.
I'm like trying to recreate it for the podcast, but I just make it much worse. It's like, well, I'll try and leave the water running longer and see if this
I just fucking hate this place. I hate I hate landlords. I pay my fucking rent. It's just, it's so insane. We're in the middle of a goddamn pandemic, and our neighbor comes up 3 times yesterday to scream at me and my girlfriend, specifically just her when she was alone. He's yelling at her, "How could you do this? How could you?" And we're like, "You think we wanted to do that? Like, you think like we were like." Like the water was running. He was like, for that long? It was 15 minutes. He goes, for that long? Really?
Yeah.
You left it running that long? As if we were like, as if somebody was like, it's been 10 minutes. We got to turn it off. And I was like, come on. Let's leave it for a few more minutes. Come on.
Let me have fun with my experiment, please.
I love it. I just think it's so fun when the water's running in the bathroom. It was pissing me off. And he comes up without a mask on, just screaming.
Course.
And he's a, you know, mid-50s, just angry for no reason. And I tried to reason with him. I was like, look, man. Obviously, this was a mistake. I apologize that it affected you this way. We'll do what we can to take care of it. All this good stuff. But just a piece of shit. She tried to give him... She felt so bad, she tried to give him a gift card, and he like, tossed it back at her. Like, just a true piece of shit.
It was to a water park, which was in Porto.
That was...
It was very rude.
The Prince of Snarkness.
That's right. New York State water park gift card.
New York State...
Anyway, so I'm pretty pissed. Get on the Patreon. We could use it now more than ever. There's now a $2,000 level where you can help me pay for damages caused by water. And, you know, you piss freaks love when Tommy's playing around in the bathroom. This time it was my turn. And,
it's time for piss freaks to get wet. Fun times. Yes. Landlord fun.
Man. I'm hurting. It's just like my stomach hurts. I fucking, it's a thing that like, I know that, you know, a month from now, this all, I won't even think about this anymore. But right now it's like, I hate when you're just ill the whole day.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited the Pacers are playing today. I was going to have a nice little day. And now I'm going to watch it seething.
You got that stress rock in the tum-tum. Dude, let it,
that's,
you know.
That's right, I do.
Let it go join basketball. That's your fun thing. It's for you, baby. Yes. Hopefully it helps out. I hate to see you this upset.
You know what, though? I'm going to shake it off because now we're talking about Newfound Glory. And that's what a thrill.
Let's
talk about it. Let's jump into it.
I have one last question for Mike before we start.
Yes.
I noticed that you're drinking a Pepsi. Has Coke not made it up there yet?
No, we haven't.
I could think.
I just love me a good Pepsi, baby.
So they do have trash in Canada too. That's good.
They do. They got them all.
Weird. Like, it is funny how I think of Canada as, like, more sophisticated, but I go there and I, like, eat different. My main experience is that I eat French fries that have fucking mush all over them and curds. And then I eat weird chips. That's, like, most
of
what my Canadian experience is compared to here.
The only difference
is me eating worse food.
You guys have these ones? You guys got the Miss Vicky's up there?
Yeah, like, those are great.
Yeah, these
they
are
have
fantastic.
Those that, where do they? They have those at sandwich shops. Those are really good.
Yeah, they got them. They got them a bunch of places here. But like all dressed chips and ketchup chips. Those are the Canadian flavors.
Those are the big ones. Which I gotta say, I could take or leave. But
I think
hot is where it's at, and Americans have really capitalized on that.
They really have, and I don't understand it. I can't handle spice in any way. It's too much for me already. But. Flamin' Hot, when people get into it, they love it so much, I'm afraid of them.
Amazing. Are you afraid of them? Well,
yeah. It's like somebody wearing
Fear me.
Yeah. Like, it's like somebody wearing an NRA hoodie. I'm like, there's something deeper
what
to
the
you.
What the hell? Don't compare those things.
To me, it's on par.
I disagree.
I don't know, man. I just felt the same level of fear as I was doing this festival in Pittsburgh and some dude was just hanging out wearing an NRA hoodie and I was like freaking out about that as I did watching my friend like tip a full bag of Flamin' Hot Cheetos into his mouth in one bite. So that's that to
was
me.
Was that the same? No, wait, that wasn't Pittsburgh. It's St. Louis. I'm thinking of. Never mind. I think that Flamin' Hot is a very liberal flavor. It's not for gun toters. Not that there's anything wrong with those people. Republicans listen to podcasts too, as Tommy always says. And no, I disagree. I think that it's for the bold and fortune favors us, except for in the case of when you leave your water running at your apartment.
Hey, man, anyway. We can't. You know what you need is you got to listen to some more Newfound Glory to get you out of that funk. Because
there we go.
Because nothing makes me happier than a little bit of pop punk, baby.
Let's talk for a bit here about, first of all, about your pitches for the show, because some of them were infuriating, and I want to talk about it.
Yeah, sure.
So I asked Mike, who did create the theme song for the show, he's a good man, and he's got an album coming out. What is your album called, Mike?
It's called Cherubic, so you can just, if you just follow me on anything, Mike Carrozza, at Mike Carrozza, and then... There's like a link tree there with a link to iTunes. It's called Cherubic. It's out September 4th, but the pre-order's up now.
So you can pre-order it now, September 4th. This is coming out mid-August, but people can, you know, figure that out. And, you know, just follow Mike and you'll see the promotion for it. You'll get it. He's a sweet boy. So I asked him what he wanted to do. One of the bands he pitched is called The World Is a Beautiful Place and I'm No Longer Afraid to Die.
I knew it.
What the fuck, man?
Hell yeah, dude. See, but this is exactly why it's perfect.
You've seen the list of bands that we do on the show.
I know.
In what world is that on there?
Well, the concept of the podcast, first of all, when the podcast has been going as long as this, a lot of my original choices are gone. Like Fall Out Boy, John Mayer, My Chemical Romance, they're all gone. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, that's fair. That's true.
But
that's true.
What do people I'd argue
that I'd rather do another My Chemical Romance episode though before doing
The World is
what
a
the
Beautiful
hell is
place?
It called again? Tommy, have you heard of this band?
I have heard of them. I think my girlfriend might like them, but I think we would get kicked off of Spotify for the title being too long. Maybe we'd no longer be welcome on platforms.
The world is a beautiful place and we're no longer welcome on platforms.
I don't know that I've ever been angrier getting a message. The other one that you sent that pissed me off is called Dance Gavin Dance.
Yeah,
I thought you were fucking
rule.
With me.
Nah, man, they rule.
He meant to text that to his boy, Gavin.
Yeah, Gavin, he's shooting bullets on his feet.
Well, that's the thing, man. Like, the concept of the podcast is talk about a band that you're going to defend because people make fun of you for it. And look at what's happening right now. You know what I mean?
Here's the thing. You're not getting made fun of for liking these bands. This is not... Do not change the narrative here, Mike. You're getting made fun of for pitching obscure shit that there's no way we would do. Like, other than Jared got mad at me because he's like, you did two episodes back to back of The Feelers, and that was a bit.
It
was funny. Did people like it? I don't know.
Yes, they did.
Okay,
When you guys are ready to do some emo revival stuff, you know I'm ready to come back for The World is a Beautiful Place because I do get made fun of for listening to them. People think that they're pretentious, and then other people are like, they're not good. And then I'm like, well, give all their music to me because it's all about, I love it. It's beautiful. All
right. Fair enough. Tell us a little bit about Newfound Glory and, your love of them and your discovery of them. When did you get into them? They seem like a band that you would have gotten into in high school.
Yeah. So what I love, so the first time I ever heard about Newfound Glory was when I was at my aunt's house, and my cousin, like, as I was getting there, was yelling at my aunt about how my aunt was ruining her life because she wasn't allowed to go see Newfound Glory at Vans Warped Tour. And I was like, what is that? And then she just blasted Newfound Glory from her room. And I was like, this is pretty tight. It doesn't match the mood, but it's pretty tight. So I was pretty stoked on that. And then when I was in high school, I was getting into music a lot more. And I was like into Sum 41 and Fall Out Boy and pop punk stuff. And then I remembered my cousin was into that stuff. And I was like, who do you recommend? And she gave me like Blink 182 CDs and Newfound Glory. And that's when I got into like Sticks and Stones and the self-titled album. And it was all, you know, it was all uphill from there. Okay. What's up, everybody? All down here from their fans. What's going on? Okay. All right. But I, you know, I've just been into them since. I love that band. They rule. They're just so much fun, but a lot of people are like, you're almost 30. Stop it. So that's what I get.
That's fair, but it's tricky with bands like this. Like, we've talked about it on the show. I have that with Fall Out Boy. Like, I still listen to their old stuff. I still love it, but I don't see a world where I get into a band like that now, if I didn't listen to them before. And that brings me to Tommy. Were you into Newfound Glory at all?
I was a huge fan of, I think we should play this song because I think this is the one people will know if they don't know this band, which is My Friends Over You. I love that song, and it brought me back today listening to it. So,
okay.
Yeah, let's listen to that.
Yeah, let's go ahead and hear it. So this is My Friends Over You.
Hell yeah, this just rules. Oh man. Here it comes, boys.
Yeah.
I think it holds up.
Doesn't that
I
roll?
Love that song.
Yeah, I like that. So Newfound Glory guitarist Chad Gilbert told Kerrang! Magazine, where we get all of our information, February 16th, 2008, when I was younger, I went out with this girl, and when I was going out with her, she lost her virginity to the guy that hooked us up. When Newfound Glory were on tour, I broke up with her, and that's why the lyrics go, "There's no room left here on my back. It was damaged long ago." My friends over you is a very straightforward, sarcastic bros before hoes line. Oh, geez. 2008 was a different time. Let's see. He said, "It's the anthem. We have to play it last just because it ends with a bang. It's a fun party song."
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that's fun. And Tommy, you mentioned to me something about the video. I didn't watch the video, but I did like this fact about it.
So in the opening 30 seconds of the video, you see they're playing a packed show, and then you see a PS4 on the stage. Or a PS2, not a PS4. PS2, a PS2.
Yeah.
PS4
yeah.
would have been shocking.
That would have blown a lot of minds.
But then in the next shot, the drummer is playing the PS2. Well, he's playing with the controller, which is hooked up to an amp, it looks like. So I don't know what he could be playing. But someone is like telling him to stop and focus on the song. And it's a very weird, very early 2000s video type
that
of
rules.
Thing. But it's a fun video to watch, and it really brought me back. I was also I was reading some of the YouTube comments, and this one from Rusty Jackson really made me feel something. He said, "No internet, no smartphone, just a mini disc, a backpack, and a beer, hanging around with friends on the streets. These were the glory days."
A mini disc?
What the fuck?
And a that beer.
That sounds like a weird country song.
Remember when you would have one beer?
Yeah.
One beer.
Single can for Love you and your friends. Beer. Everybody take a sip.
Do a shot of beer.
Someone also pointed out on Twitter, I don't have Twitter up right now to find it, but that it sounded
shot
like...
Shot of beer? I'm sorry.
It says, the opening line is, "I'm drunk off your kiss." And someone... Oh, no, this was on YouTube, too. Someone wrote, "Who else hears 'I'm drunk on your piss'" in the first line?
Tommy McNamara. Oh,
a user named T. McNamara said, "Who else is drinking? It's just a mini disc, a can of piss." And
who's back here in 2020 drinking a can of piss?
I'm drunk on mini discs.
Yeah, I liked that song. That definitely feels like a song. Again, if I were, 19 or 20, hearing that for the first time, I'd be like, "Hell yeah! I've never kissed a girl, but I'm into this sort of shit." I guess 19, I wouldn't be saying that, but yeah, it's a good message, and I still believe it. As someone who had a friend. Have you ever dated someone who just fucking hated your friends?
I haven't.
You haven't? No. Well, I certainly have, to the point where one of my exes, I mentioned that I invited Tim McLaughlin to a hangout we were having, and she started crying. It was
what?
Very upsetting. Anyway, so I relate to this.
Oh, another
crazy reaction.
Got Tim out of my life.
Something I should bring up about this video, too, is that Travis Barker from Blink-182 does make an appearance just hanging out in this video.
Oh, hell yeah. That's always cool.
Hair spiked up. No drumsticks for you, Travi. Not in this.
We should point out he's also just hanging out on this Zoom call, which I think is weird. He's not talking at all. Yeah, but thanks for being here, Travis.
Thanks, buddy. How are my drum rolls, bud?
Should we go ahead and play Jared's voicemail? Because he did leave it quite a while ago.
I have a fun prediction. Fact
about the voicemail that he sent us this week. Jared is going to... I don't know how much we're allowed to talk about this, but Jared filmed something with Vice this past week. They followed Jared around for a while. And one of the parts of it was they watched him record his voicemail. So I'm curious if we'll be able to hear any kind of difference in how he delivered this. So here it is. This is our regular segment where we go to our friend and foe of the podcast, Jared Thompson, owner of the Comedy Attic in beautiful Bloomington, Indiana, and co-founder of Limestone Comedy Festival, also in Bloomington. Which, by the way, you can go see shows at the Comedy Attic right now. They're keeping it very safe. Everybody's got to wear a mask, all that good stuff. Super limited capacity. Or I think they're doing some virtual shows too, so check those out. But here's Jared's thoughts on Newfound Glory.
What's up, y'all? This week they went to Jared. The boys are going to have Mike Carrazza on talking about Newfound Glory. Okay, so first of all, Mike, you're honestly, this pains me to have to do this because you're such a beautiful guy. And, you know, you're such a supportive friend to a lot of people. And my interactions with you have always been great. But this is a perfect example of that you just, you know, by accident sort of got tricked into liking emo when you were in high school. Or whatever,
I knew it.
And this was just what was available to you at the time. Because it's one of those things where, like, this happens a lot where I didn't know who this band was other than the name. And so when I heard the song, I was like, well, of course I know this song from being in the mall. it's bad. It's, you know, fifth generation emo. And of course I listened to emo in its first iteration. So I understand the appeal of like melodic whining, or in this case, it's very nasally, set to, you know, catchy music. But sort of by the time this band rolled around, the like production quality was too much. Like, one of the things that really kind of drove emo in the early days is that it was very primitive sounding. Like, it didn't have like this sort of glossy feel to it. So this, I know this is like a stereotypical thing to say, but yeah, it's like going to Hot Topic and you walk in and this band was, you know, made in a lab to sell a t-shirt at Hot Topic. So anyway, I wish I had better news for you, Mike, because I know you're a great dude. But anyway, I just want to say to Tom and Tommy, I had a blast last week on the podcast and I listened to it and I think it was great. So I love you guys. I will talk to you later. Thanks.
Hell, you know, yeah, what? He convinced me. He got me.
Yeah,
I don't like
in the show.
That's all it took. I knew that's what he was going to say. I knew he was going to be like, yeah, you know what? While you were growing up, you were reaching at straws and you caught this one. And of course he did.
Yeah. Yep. I do want to say really quickly, we had Jared on last week. If you haven't listened to that one, go back. It was a very fun episode. And I hope you guys got to know Jared a little better. And to see why he's our friend and foe of the
Jared
show.
Jared rules, man. He's great.
He's a good man. But yeah, he is right. And this sucks.
One thing we should talk about, just because it's on my mind, is a lot of people talk about with this band, it's always in the comments of everything, that the singer looks like Quentin Tarantino.
Yes. That's kind and of he, a does.
He does.
He does. He does.
So I was watching an interview with them, and one of the other members of the band, not the front man, was at a restaurant, and Quentin Tarantino came in, and he tells this story where he went up to him, and he was like, hey, I'm in a band, and everyone says the singer looks like you. Let me go out to my car. And he ran to his car, grabbed a CD, and showed Quentin Tarantino on the album cover. And I guess Quentin Tarantino was like, he's very handsome. And then the guy gave Quentin Tarantino the CD, which I'm sure he threw away. But
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then, and that's why The Hateful Eight ended with failure's not flattering.
He said, enough of those CDs. Show me those little toes. Come on.
You know, he was a little disappointed when it was a face picture.
He does look a lot like Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah, that's, there's a strong enough resemblance there. But the whining nasal thing, yeah, I get it. That's the biggest complaint that people like levy against this band, is like, I just don't like his voice. And it's like, you know what? More for me. I love it. Don't worry about it. This is for, you don't have to love it. And I will never force this on you, but I will say, in Mike Carrazza world, you're wrong, baby. This is great. This is great pop punk stuff.
And I don't think Jared wants to live in Mike Carrazza world.
You know,
that's the worst theme park on earth. What's that, Tommy?
Yeah, the same thing. I mean,
and look, man, he's welcome to join anytime, but I will never force him in. I'm not going to hold him hostage. I will say,
oh my God.
Yeah, that makes it sound
like
you
are going to.
I don't want to give away too much. I've been trying to lure him over here with a bunch of baseball caps and bobbleheads. Nothing's worked so far. But yeah, for what it's worth, man, if anybody in comedy cared half as much as Jared does about comedy, then the industry would be a much better place. I'll tell you what. Jared fucking rules, and I'll keep saying it. He does.
Hell yeah. I want to talk about really quickly. So Newfound Glory put out a new song. Let's see. Nothing to say. Newfound Glory. This is the article. It's from March, from literally like right when COVID was really shutting everything down. March 16th, 2020. Newfound Glory chastised friends who have nothing to say in new video premiere. And the premise of this song seems very mean. Here it is. Nothing to Say is a song for friend circles that struggle with a member of that circle who seem to never have anything good to say. Newfound Glory's guitarist Chad Gilbert explains in the statement, who feels the only way to be accepted or cared for is to create a split or double or doubt between others so they can feel needed or heard instead of just being themselves. Someone who sees you regularly face to face and shakes your hand and smiles, but behind closed doors tries to sabotage and negatively pull people in a self-centered direction. A sad circle where you wish the person could be upfront with everyone, but because of their own journey, they can't break through and it's all too obvious. And I just want to point out, Kevin Lobkovich is a regular on our Friday Funnies Patreon, and I think that he could stand to listen to this song based on the most recent Patreon episode. And again, you can hear that all of our bonus episodes, we do an hour bonus episode every week. It's $3 a month. Get on there.
Nice.
And you can hear us really take Kevin to task for being this kind of friend in the last one. Get in there. We should listen to another song.
Hell yeah.
Which one would you like to hear next, Mike?
Of the ones I sent you, I think the one I like the most versus the one I think All Down Here From Here would be the best one to hear, because that's like the biggest single that they had.
All right, let's hear All Downhill From Here.
Oh, man. I try to cut it out, but all I hear from you are lies. And I can tell you're going through the motions, because you were ripped in as your part. Once again, we're playing off emotion. Which one of us will burn until the end? Catalyst, you insist to pull me down. You contradict the fact that you still want me around. And it's all down. Nice.
All Downhill From Here. That's the only song that I had ever heard on this playlist.
Really?
Yeah, I hadn't heard the other one that we played. This one I remember vaguely. I just remember that part. And it was one of those where I heard it, and I'm sure if I had delved in at all, I would have liked them. Mm-hmm. That was the one entry point, and I think I just like forgot about it completely. But fun fact about this, it had to be retired from the fan-voted MTV show Total Request Live after being voted on for, I'm going to let you guys guess, how many weeks in a row?
I'm going to say 100.
Whoa, I was just going to
guess. Mike, what do you think?
I was going to guess 46.
Mike is our winner. Very close. 52.
No
shit.
So
a full year.
A year.
Yeah, full year of being voted for. People love this video. And Jordan Pundick vocals told Kerrang! Magazine, it was about my ex. When I first started dating her, my friends were like, dude, don't do it. She's this and she's that. But I didn't listen. There you go.
I mean,
I like that one.
You know what? Lyrically, it's hard to be into these guys, but the songs are pretty fun.
this one reminds me a lot of Sum 41. And I, but I like it.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It's for me.
It's a big, it's the pop punk, baby. It's easy core fun time. You know, it's a
easy core.
Yeah, that's
fun core.
Well, that's what they I think they called a tour that, and that's like a whole subgenre, like
yeah,
Chunk, Captain Chunk or something like that. There's a band called that, like 4 Year Strong and the other band that starts with an F, I forget. They're it's fun. It's just like nice hardcore, but it's like we love our friends and everybody's cool, and then it's like big breakdowns.
Sure. Yeah. I like that. I'm fine too. With that. Let's see here. I found some fun facts about the band. I think we should talk about those because they're so fun.
Well, if easycore and funcore are to be followed, I think we should.
So here, I'm going to do this in trivia form.
Hell yeah!
First off,
Tommy, you're going down.
Well, I have been doing research, so I might know this.
Oh yeah, here we go. First off, I think this will probably be an easy one if you did some research. How did they get their name? Mike, do you want to guess?
They were sitting around in the basement, and they were like, "Well, we gotta be like glorious and hot and sexy." And then a mom was making pita chips, and they were like, "You know what? You should be like newfound glory, like glory be to God and shit." And they were like, "Hell yeah, dude, that rules."
Sure, Tommy, what do you think?
Did you already see this? Sorry, there was something going on in my apartment, so I missed it.
Oh, all good.
What was going on?
The question is, how did Newfound Glory get their name?
Oh, wasn't it a reference to a Get Up Kid song or something?
So that's sort of right. But apparently, so the band's original name was A Newfound Glory, and they got it because lead singer Jordan Pundick and guitarist Stephen Klein were working at Red Lobster together and brainstorming band names, and A Newfound Glory was scrawled onto a napkin.
Oh, yeah.
And so, they just took it, which I think is plagiarism, and they should be taken to task for it.
There is something very funny about they're a Florida band, and something about a Florida Red Lobster.
I know. That's right.
Being That's a hotbed funny. Of creativity and many diseases.
I really love that. And my mom famously she worked at Red Lobster, and the reason I grew up in Bloomington is because she was transferred to Bloomington as a manager at Red Lobster. So I have a very strong connection to Red Lobster, and I did love it. Those Cheddar Bay biscuits do inspire a great deal of creativity.
Delicious.
One, I mean, they invented Cheddar Bay. We got to go to Cheddar Bay sometime. That'd be a good vacation spot.
I've never been to Red Lobster. I've never
what?
No.
That's wild. Man. I mean, I don't know if I would care to go anymore. Like,
yeah,
I think living in New York, you're like, there's so many better places you could go to.
Exactly.
But being in Indiana, you're like, Red Lobster's pretty fucking good. it's nothing to sneeze at, you know.
Red Lobster's like, it's just fine. Like, it's one of those places where you're like, I want some seafood, and I want to know that it's going to come out exactly like, you know, my price point.
yeah.
Tom, that we didn't bring this up last week when we were talking about a band named Seafood Mama. You literally had a Seafood Mama.
That is crazy. That's true. Why didn't I say that? That's insane. I can't believe I didn't think of that.
Especially
you're so right. I think Jared was trying to blow by Seafood Mama so fast that we didn't have time. And it's just such a good name. It's so good.
Blowing past Seafood the name. Mama. Like, yeah, this song by the Butthole Surfers, it's really good, and I
that is the go-to. Do you think that's the worst band name of all time, Tommy? What do you think?
There's gotta be
I think
worse,
Dance
but...
Gavin Dance might be worse.
I was gonna say The World is a Beautiful Place and I'm No Longer Afraid to Die is pretty bad.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. Anything where it's like, if it's more than like 5 words, go fuck yourself. What are you doing? How many words do you need for your band?
Seven.
I thought of a great band name the other day.
What?
What do you guys think about this? Pug Fugly. I think it's great. It's a Simpsons reference where Mo gets called ugly, ugly, and he goes, "I've been called ugly, I've been called pugly, I've been called fugly, I've been called pug fugly, but never ugly, ugly." One of my favorite lines. I think the Pug Fuglies or Pug Fugly would be good.
Pug Fugly is very good for a band name. That's not bad at all. I used to be in a band called Stan Holiday and the Sunshine Six. And we were two dudes.
Why? What's that a reference to?
Nothing. We just we just had time.
Did anyone stand Stan Holiday?
I stand the holidays. Although I don't like when people say happy holidays. It's Merry Christmas, motherfucker.
1, 2, 3, 4
Anyway, back to Newfound Glory. They dropped the A out of their name because people were having trouble finding their records at record stores, which I think is funny. It's funny to say that because it's like, maybe that wasn't it. Maybe it's that nobody cared. Like, people clearly can't find our music because of the A.
I'm telling you, it's because of the A. No, maybe it's because we need to get a better master on this record. It's like, no. It's the A. It's got to be.
Okay, here we go. We already talked about where they formed, which is Florida, mm-hmm. Coral Springs.
Mm-hmm.
So they have many famous guests in their music videos. We've already mentioned Travis Barker.
Mm-hmm.
There's two more that are listed on here. Do you guys want to guess the ones that they felt were necessary to put on this list?
Can you give a hint? Are they music?
So they're both actors, not musicians. Although one of them plays a musician in a movie.
Okay.
The title character, in fact.
Oh, who played Llewellyn Davis? What was that one?
That was Oscar Isaac. Yeah, he certainly was not in the Newfound Glory music video.
No. I'll give you another hint. This is a person that would have been very popular in the like early 2000s,
/Jared Leto.
Maybe even late 90s, but yep. Very early 2000s. Like 2004 is probably when the peak.
Oh shit!
Three names, and it's a woman.
Oh, it's a woman. Okay.
Yes.
Oh, is it
Sarah Michelle Parker is the only person that I could. Sarah Jessica Parker is the only person I can think of.
Yeah, you were mixing up Sarah Michelle Gellar and Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yeah.
Unforgivable.
So, I think I know one. And is it it's the woman from She's All That, right?
That's correct. Yeah. Yes.
Wait, what?
Yeah. So
Jennifer Lee Cook.
So close. It's a Rachel Lee Cook.
Rachel Lee Cook.
And the other is more of an 80s star. Where is it? I'm just going to tell you this one. It's Corey Feldman is the other one. That they listed.
Oh, okay. Corey Feldman.
That is right. They don't say which videos, but, you know. There you go. Oh, here's one. A Newfound Glory song. A few Newfound Glory songs have been featured in EA video games.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea? They list two here. Uh-huh. Do you guys want to take guesses at what those are?
I know one of them for sure.
Okay. What do you got?
Failure's Not Flattering was an NHL game.
That's not listed here. I believe you, but it doesn't say that here. And that would be an EA game too. So it's weird that they wouldn't mention that.
I know it was in there, I suppose, because my brother is so good at NHL on any console. At what New Year's Eve one night, he was like, "You get a whole year to beat me one game, and we'll bet $100." And so I just played the shit out of it, and I beat him in a month, and he was really salty. And that was on there for sure,
because yeah.
I remember being stoked it was on.
That's what gave you the power to beat him. That's exciting.
Dude. Failure is not flattering, dude. Can't fail.
So I'll tell you a song title here, remember it is EA. So this disaster was used in a game that I owned.
That was
was it a Madden?
Uh-huh.
It was Madden NFL 2005. 2006 is the year I think that they started doing. I think 2005 they introduced the hit stick, and that might be my favorite Madden. It was so fun.
Oh yeah, the right stick being the nice.
Well, I picked up Brian Urlacher. I traded I traded, I think, Peyton Manning for Brian Urlacher straight up. And I had my own created quarterback. And I would just play as Urlacher and line up against the line and just sprint to blitz every single play. And it was one of the best summers of my life. It was very fun.
You had one disc, you had a backpack, a beer.
The other one, this is an underrated game, Burnout 3 Takedown. At least I'm known for something was used in it.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one for that game.
Those Burnout games were so fun.
When I want to take down a Burnout, I make fun of Tim McLaughlin. He was already referenced once.
this is a kind of fun. Oh, shit, there's actually a couple here. Okay, I'm going to go with this one first. The Newfound Glory guys are known for being pranksters.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, I fucking hate that. Yeah. I love a good prank in some... Like, if you're like Nathan Fielder, that's great.
Uh-huh.
But pretty much everybody else can go the rest of their life without pranking anybody, and it'd be fine.
Yeah.
So they're known for being pranksters. While on tour with the band Set Your Goals, what do you think they did during the other band's set? What kind of prank do you think they pulled on these guys?
They TP'd their drummer.
That would be really funny. It's such an obvious. It's like you're just throwing toilet paper at one of our guys. It's not really doing anything.
Just because you're yelling prank over it doesn't mean that it's a prank.
Yeah. So I'll go ahead and tell you, because this is very related to what was happening in July here in
New
York.
Was it piss related?
What's that?
Was it piss related?
No, it wasn't piss related. Although, yeah. Actually, one of them is piss related. Yeah. So the one that they did on this tour is they set off smoke bombs and fireworks during the other band's set. That's a shitty prank.
Yeah, that's not
and also
fun.
Fireworks. It's like that's just added to the show. I think you're just you're just a effects guy now.
The set looked really cool.
yeah, we shined cool lights on them during their set. We really got their asses.
Look at the cinematic idiots.
But so Jordan on a AMA on Reddit, Jordan said that buying fireworks and blowing up porta potties was his favorite tour shenanigan. Sucks, man.
That does suck. I hate that a lot. Don't ruin this band for me, Tom. Please don't ruin this band for me.
It would suck to work for the porta potty company, and you're like, oh, shit, Newfound Glory's playing.
What's this? The porta potties are filled with piss and mini discs. What?
This is the Stand By Your Band, boys, and I've never seen it.
That is why we're not welcome back at many venues. The toilets with piss. The ultimate prank.
Filling a porta potty with piss.
You're never going to believe this.
And calling it the ultimate prank.
Hey guys, check out what I did in the porta potties. You're never going to believe it. Signature prank.
Signature
I peed right
prank.
In the hole where you're supposed to poop.
Oh, that's fucking hilarious.
I think this is interesting. Dude. So all the members of the band have pursued other interests and careers over the last two decades in addition to making music together.
Uh-huh.
Jordan, let's see, how do I phrase this? What do you guys have any guess on what Jordan might have done? Let's just say he opened up a business in San Diego.
Custom shoes.
With a man named Ian White. And if I tell you what he does, it would give away what this is.
No, I don't. What is it?
He, a longtime tattoo aficionado, apprenticed with a tattoo artist, Ian White, for a year and eventually opened his own tattoo shop in San Diego.
Okay.
Cyrus is a licensed realtor, and his playful Instagram bio says drummer for at Newfound Glory by day, licensed realtor at Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, Florida Realty at night. Or is that the other way around? Oh, God. We should get tattoos. I think that it's time. We've done this podcast for like 3 years now. Let's get tats.
We should talk about, by the way, not a fun topic, but not a fun fact, but Steve Klein in the band was arrested for, I believe it was lewd conduct with a minor under 14.
Was he really?
So yeah. Defend that, Mike. do your best.
So no fucking way.
Yeah,
I knew he was kicked out for being a piece of shit. I didn't know how bad of a piece of shit. Oh, child pornography. What the fuck?
That was, yeah, the counts of child pornography that I get. Obviously, we shouldn't go too far into it because it's a sensitive topic. But
sure, sure.
I will say the one thing, the one good thing for the band is that they did kick him out, like, right away.
Yeah.
They didn't, like, wait for the trial. You know, they were, no. Like, the second it happened, they kicked him out.
Right.
But, oh, yeah, buddy.
Something you have to bring up with this band just because people will be like, you can't just not talk about
totally
it.
Missed that. And what's wild is, I typed out Newfound Glory controversy. That's how we do a little bit of the research here. And that didn't even come up. Hmm. That's so weird. It came up with some like song lyrics or some shit.
I guess
they're clean.
I guess maybe child pornography isn't a controversial topic. It's just wrong. Boom. Now we got the hot takes on Stand Damn. By Your Band.
Damn.
You can stand now by I your band, but you can't stand by child pornography. Don't you dare.
Our slogan. Yes.
Yeah.
We piss freaks here at Stand By Your Band won't stand for many things. One of which okay, I can't continue.
this has been a fun episode.
Sorry, I just feel like if we didn't bring it up.
No, you're right. I totally missed it, or else, I would have brought it up immediately.
You know what?
And had a bunch of jokes about it.
We had some riffs. We did okay with it. I think the fan base is going to. You piss freaks out there, share a like. Come on.
Look,
Mike, wrapping up the episode. We have so much more to do.
I thought we were going to have a controversy free episode, but I guess that was too good to be.
Hey.
Ooh, well done.
Softer
side.
Yeah.
What's that?
The softer side of Newfound Glory.
Yeah.
I thought that was like a sweet tune to pop in because it's one that people don't talk about very often, and I enjoy it quite a bit. I think it's a fun little acoustic ditty, and it's a real sweet love song. And I just like it a lot. I think that that album isn't my favorite album, Coming Home, but I do really like a couple of songs, and this is one that I keep coming back to. That's another hit on the playlist, baby. We're 3 for 3.
We'll see about all that.
That rating might be too good to be.
Get out of here. Get out of here. The Prince of Snarkness strikes again.
Let's just see what the first comment on the YouTube video for this is. I'm curious.
Oh, I guarantee it's some teenager. I was in a relationship that was too good to be.
This is wild. Zero comments on it. It's only got 3,300 views.
See, it's not a popular tune.
Yeah, you're right. Which could prove to be a giant mistake on your part. I guess I have to see.
Just because it's not popular doesn't mean it's not good, baby. Talk to the world is a beautiful place, and I am no longer afraid to die.
It's so weird. I'm looking at a different YouTube, one of the lyrics videos.
Hold on a second. I can't pause. Hold on. There we go. Okay, I found a more popular video of it. What's that, Tommy?
It's just weird that people would be like, anyone else listening to this in 2019? And it's like,
I know.
Yeah, they're looking at the video.
Yeah, that's almost every music video from any time. People, you could put a song out like in 2019 and people right now would be like, who's here listening in 2020? Yeah. It's like, it's a fucking video. What are you talking about?
Serious 2019 vibes.
This was uploaded on New Year's Eve 2019. I found one comment on Too Good To Be, and it's Willy Wonka from 2 months ago said, this song is too good to be.
And that's the real Willy Wonka.
And it's just a statement of fact. This is a song called Too Good To Be. He capitalized it like it's the title of the song and everything. That's Willy Wonka.
A lot of people on here are saying Quentin Tarantino, but I'm seeing a new argument where a lot of people are saying that he looks like Roger Federer.
Oh, I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah. Tennis legend.
I don't know what Roger Federer looks like. I only focus on that big old butt. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm going to Google him. Oh, he does look like him.
Mike's trying to make him U.S. Open that butt.
All right, let's hear
yeah, we're Wimble done with that one, huh?
Let's hear sorry. We'll hit or break. Miss, which is how I'm referring to.
We don't take breaks.
Here's hit or miss. Hit or miss.
I love that this song comes with a little bit of trivia, which is that Jordan Pundick's favorite song is Thriller.
Right. Yes.
He has a little Breakfast at Tiffany's moment there.
And I said, what about that song, Thriller?
It is a weird favorite song.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really maybe
is,
favorite
yeah.
video, I could see.
Yes. Yes. My favorite song is Wet Ass Pussy. all time.
Yeah. It's a good one.
Right,
macaroni in a pot. WikiLeaks. What? I don't know what I'm saying, but Tommy will be right back. Tom will be right back. Tommy, Prince of Snarkness.
So, Mike, of the four you've picked so far, I knew three
all
of
hits.
Them.
Okay.
I liked three of them.
Really? You didn't like Too Good To Be?
Too Good To Be was not for me. We'll get into it more in the rating
section. I mean, here's the thing. Let's get to that section because I'm going to fight both of you.
Oh, no.
I'm a sweet boy, but I'm going to fight you both because the playlist is a solid 6 out of 6. And that's a me, baby. I'm tipping my hat.
I dare you to come to New York and talk that type of shit to my face.
Yeah, we'll put a boot in your ass. It's the American way. That's what Toby Keith was singing that to Canada.
That's right. And Uncle Sam, his list.
I'm actually, just give me a quick second. My therapist is messaging me right now.
Do not go on that podcast. Those guys are horrible.
They're toxic.
Yeah, she just rescheduled my session to Friday because her internet is fucked, and so I don't have an out at 3 anymore. So that's that makes me less stressed, and now I'm sweating less. So here comes.
Oh, we'll be done before 3.
Having to
reschedule therapy because of what internet. Do you think this is the new normal, Mike?
I'm afraid it might be. We'll be right back. I keep doing
we'll
that.
We'll be right back on Stand By Your Band. We hope.
We hope. Fuck you.
If the world is still here by the time this break is over, we're not taking a break. I got basketball to watch. let's hear another song. How many have we done? 4 now? We have a couple more here.
Yeah, we got 2 more.
And we have to get to the Facebook. Yeah, the Facebook's popping
Facebook.
This week.
Facebook
and
was...
we also expanded to Twitter. So, by the way, if you're trying to send in your thoughts on the pod, you no longer just have to be Facebook friends with me. I'm going to start posting on the Stand By Your Band Twitter, the same thing I do on Facebook to expand the the abilities of people to do it, and so that when I fucking post on my Facebook asking for help with advice on my apartment, I don't get people commenting, "This is the worst episode of Stand By Your Band of all time," as a joke, which is, probably very funny in retrospect, but in the moment, just really pissed me off. anyway, I was asking for it by having a goddamn podcast. Let's listen to... Have we heard something I call personality?
Nope.
We've not heard that yet, right?
Okay, I love this one. Ooh. That rules.
Something I call personality. That feels like something that would be on a Hot Topic t-shirt.
100%.
Sorry, I have something I call personality.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. And you know what? Fuck yeah. I love it.
You're a
I'm
Hot Topic
so
boy, aren't you, Carosa?
I know. Not really. I couldn't...
Really?
I couldn't fit well into things that I wanted from there, nor would I... Also, it doesn't quite... Like, I couldn't... My hair afros out, and that's not a look that goes well with the Hot Topic crowd back
sure.
when.
Fair enough. So, I could see you having spiky hair for some reason.
Spiky
hair? I could
hair?
See you really, yeah, just really spiking that out like a Slipknot. Sort of.
I'll tell you what, it's a struggle anytime I try to get my hair to do anything. I'll use an entire tube of gel, and it'll still be like I have bedhead. That's why I cut it short so often. So this goes out to all my hair. Fuck you.
All right. Let's see here. 20 years from now. No. I was trying to find some song facts here. Having trouble.
I don't know why I just flashed back to this, but I just remembered the dude at JFL 42 after your show, Tom.
Oh, God. Yeah, that I will never forget that.
Yeah, me neither.
You go ahead and tell the people about it, because it was weird. There was a lot of weird people after that show.
Dude, there
and that
were
was,
a lot of weird
That was a
people.
Really fun show. The
it
one
was
at
a
the comedy
show.
Bar, right?
Yeah.
We had a great time. I was I fucking love JFL 42. I think that might be my favorite JFL experience, because Toronto is so removed from, like, it's not like Montreal where it's very stressful, and there's so many people. It's enough people where it's fun and it's like campy and you're hanging out with a bunch of comics, and being from the States, being in Canada is kind of fun. It's like very strange to be in these places, but so I had Mike open for me because I'm a generous man, and no, I'm just kidding. No, I had Mike open for me at the Comedy Bar for my first show at JFL 42, and after the show we're standing at the bar, and some people are coming out of the show, Most of them thrilled. Most of them.
Yeah.
No, socks knocked off.
Mostly high-fiving and collecting their socks on the floor.
Exactly. Yeah. They're picking up their socks. They're going, hey, is this my sock or yours? There's a lot of that sort of talk.
They're like, I don't wear matched ones. And then they, you know, sometimes they traded socks. It really felt like
and a
community.
A lot of people met during this, like, there's a lot of
meet cute.
Let's just say there's a lot of JFL 42 babies, as we call them, from this show where people met that night trading socks.
A lot of babies named Tom coming.
One person came up and said, "What's Mike Groza?"
he pointed at Tom and said, "You, I liked a lot," and then pointed at me and said, "You, I have some opinions on."
Oh my god.
Yes, he said, then, I have some opinions on.
Yeah, and then he went on and on about being autistic and then said, I just don't understand what you're doing. And I said, well, do you think that this is appropriate to be? He's like, I don't know, I'm autistic. And I was like, I'm telling you it's not. And he just wouldn't stop talking to me.
I think I did tell you not to talk to him.
Yes, you did.
I said, there's nothing good that can come from this.
And then you walked away.
Nothing of value to say, and then I walked away. That's what you have to do. If somebody after a show wants to be like, hey, I actually have some notes. It's just like, there's nothing valuable that's going to come from this.
I know.
Unless they're a comic. Like, if it's an older comic or something, I'll listen to that, of course.
Right.
Or, like, someone who's directly, you know...
I tried taking a step
club
away.
Club owner or something like that wants to say something, it's like, yeah, well, we have to have a conversation. But if it's just some guy who is a weirdo who came to the show alone and, like, just wants to be a kind of a dick to you, there's no reason to have that conversation.
Yeah, but
he was right, and I also have some issues.
I literally talked to somebody else, and he waited for me to continue telling me what he thought.
Yeah.
Like, I had a full conversation. He has come to see me since, twice.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, yeah.
What does he say? Is he like, thank you for correcting my the issues that I had problems with?
Yeah, the first time he was like, that was better. And then the next time he's like, I still don't get it. And then I was like...
He said it, I still don't get it.
Yeah, yeah. And he was
what
like,
an odd man.
But the dude bought... He brought a friend. He bought two tickets to my show on a Monday.
That's really funny.
Like, yeah.
He's like, you got to see this guy. I don't get it at all.
Exactly. But I'll tell you what, man. That dude's got something I call a mean personality. All right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
you really laid it up there at the end when I thought you were going to dunk it. I thought you were going to slam that one down, and you just lightly, you pulled up and laid it off the backboard.
I laid it off the backboard. It hit the rim and fell down. It didn't make it in the basket.
Do we have any more stories from festivals I can't get into? Or...
Tom and I met when Tom got new faces, and wait, you weren't seeing...
Yeah, I want to also say, I say all that about not listening to people after a show based on I every single time listen to them and end up in a long ass conversation, and it's not fun.
They're never good.
We have one more song here, I think, right? Have we heard? We haven't heard Failure's Not
Flattering
yet, right? Let's hear it.
This rule, 8 years.
Okay, that was Failures Not Flattering.
Hell yeah.
I gotta say, this angle is not flattering for me. I'm on the Zoom, so I relate. Why that song, Mike?
It was one of the singles that showed that they were going in a different direction. Like, it's not at all like All Downhill From Here or most of the stuff on that album. It had a keyboard on it. It was one that was still pop punk, but more on the pop side, and was featured in a couple games. And I thought that might be one that people know more. The video was pretty fun for that one. And I hesitated because I thought this would be a good one, but I also thought maybe I should put some of their cover stuff on or something more recent. But this is really the era of Newfound Glory that I come to. And Failure's Not Flattering is caught in my head for a long time after I listen to it. I just think it rules. It's just so catchy and fun. And yeah, man, it's a good song. It's just fun.
I like that one. And I do have a fact here. Chad Gilbert, guitarist, told Kerrang! Magazine.
Where we're getting all our facts, baby.
Stop it.
He said, I remember wanting to use the term blow it because my girlfriend at the time would always say, you're going to blow it.
Oh my God.
It was at a point of time in our band when certain members were second guessing what we were doing because their priorities in life were different. So this is about someone who's going to screw something up and they're going to regret it. I'm not going to read the last thing.
He was married to Haley Williams from Paramore briefly.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I think they were married for like a year and a half. But yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if she's the one who was kept telling you you're going to blow it. That seems like a bad partner, to be honest.
I mean, these guys all need better relationships. It could be supportive. Like, hey, you know, if you're not focusing on it, you're going to blow it. You know, really take the time. I've got you. I support you. But like, you know, you want this so bad, don't blow it. You can do it. You know what I mean? I think that that could be positive.
Yeah, one time I did a show with Mike, and a guy after the show came up and said, hey, buddy, you're going to blow it to Mike. And
he found the silver line.
But I think it was supportive.
Yeah,
I don't think that's good. You can't be telling your partner all the time they're going to blow it. Let's go to Facebook, because we are already deep into this.
Yeah, there's a couple ones on Facebook.
There's some Facebook comments here. What's that?
I said we're deep into debt. And
we are so into debt. I am actively losing my home. Nick Reens says, such a good band. Haven't had the pleasure of seeing them live yet, but a staple in the pop punk genre. Radio Surgery is one of my favorite albums by them.
Which is wild.
That's crazy. Is that a recent album? What's the deal with that?
It's a more recent album. Like they put out a lot of music. They put out a lot of music. Like I think Radio Surgery is the one that came out after Coming Home, and so it was like from 2011. And they've put out 3 full length albums since, and it's just not one that I have really dived into. It's not one that
I
like
the title of the album because I have a friend who got radio surgery to look like radio.
Cuba Gooding Jr. in that movie.
Yeah, Cuba Gooding Jr. It's not unlike the Chad surgery.
Oh no, I meant to get the Chad surgery, but I got the radio surgery.
It comes with a shopping cart. that's interesting. Will Carey says, one of my favorite, top 5 favorite bands of all time. They continue to put out great albums and have an amazingly entertaining live show. I've seen them 4 times. First pop punk band I heard that also had breakdowns in their songs, which would go on to be called Easy Core, which is named after one of their tours. Yeah. Let's see. Mike Carosa writes, amazing band. I love them very much. Whoever's on this episode must be cool as hell and very handsome. Well, hit or miss.
hit, very handsome. Miss, cool as hell. We can work on it.
Matthew Benjamin says, the most consistent pop punk band of all time. Matt Stanton said, they will always pick their friends over you. Funny reference, Matt. a lot of people really love them on here. Although Jessica Tabor writes, woof, never trust a group that covers and destroys the beautiful 80s joy that is Glory of Love by Peter Cetera.
So they do a lot of covers. A lot of people were posting different covers.
They put out 3 cover albums.
They put out 3 cover albums? Wow.
Yeah, because like they did a cover album like way early on, and then they did one like in 2008, and they just recently, a couple years ago, did a new one. And like there are some really good they did Iris by Goo Goo Dolls and Kiss Me by Sixpence None the Richer.
Oh,
and
hell yeah.
They did My Heart Will Go On, I think, is the one that they did. Yeah, on their first one. They also did This Is Me from The Greatest Showman and Let It Go from Frozen. So they're like not full length albums. They're just like EPs of covers, and they're just a good time. I prefer the This Is Me version that they put out because it rules, and I think Let It Go is a lot more fun when it's a pop punk band doing it. So
yeah, fair enough.
It's gotten me to listen to that. I like it.
I do like a band that learns a lot of covers. It always makes for fun at the live show, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And that's what a lot of people said, that they're really good live. So
sure. Mm-hmm. That does make for a really fun live show. But it does suck when a band starts that cover that you don't like. Like, you don't like this. You don't want to hear that song. You're like, I came to hear your songs. Yeah. And then they, like, this is fucking annoying, but when I went to see Coldplay in 2010, I was so excited because it was like, I think it was Viva La Vida tour. And, I was like, I loved the songs on that album. I loved the old shit. I was like, this is going to be a perfect show. And then they played some Beatles shit. And I think they played a Michael Jackson song. And I was like, I just don't want to hear you do that. Like, I have no interest in hearing Chris Martin do this, but it was fine. I think I've said it on here before, always played two covers that I loved. One of them was that song from the Dumb and Dumber soundtrack. They're like, you go way too fast. Watch out, boy, you're going to crash. And it was one of my favorite concert experiences ever.
Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It can really make a show fun.
Fun fact, the Montreal Canadiens come out to play to the Fix You, the part where the guitar picks up.
That's such a weird.
I know. It's honestly thing.
Beta shit I've ever heard.
It is such a weird choice. But it's when the guitar kicks in and it's like supposed to, like, it's all triumphant and shit. Mm. And then, you know, they lead up and they say, you know, Monsieur, Madame, vous Canadien. And then they, like, the drums kick in and you're like, all right. And then everybody's pumped because it's an arena for hockey.
Which team does that?
The Montreal Canadiens.
I heard the Oilers come out to Tears in Heaven.
They come out to Classical Gas, baby.
What the hell?
I don't know. Just equal garbage.
Somebody on the comments said, Tim J. Wells says, coming home and not without a fight are true pop punk masterpieces. Then he says, I would die for them. Jesus. Don't do that, buddy.
Hey, man, you okay?
Yeah, that just seems like a cry for help, brother. Okay,
I'm scared of that one.
Jeremy Levenbach sent something I want to read because it's a story. It's like a personal story. He said, this won't help you in any way, but when I was in college, my friend Brooke became friends with the band because they had some days off between gigs and they were in the Midwest. Their tour bus driver was from Joplin, Missouri, and they were cool was spending their days off in Joplin so their driver could see his family. Brooke, who is from Joplin, ran into them and was one of the few people in town who would have had any idea who they were. She became friends with them, and they'd invite her to shows whenever they were in the area. Said they were mostly nice guys. I just thought it was cool that they were being good guys to their bus driver. I liked them okay, but I was never huge into them. Spotify throws their stuff on Discovery Mixes every now and then. And they are still making songs that sound in a good way, exactly like bangers from their heyday. Check out Happy Being Miserable and Viscous Love for some newer tunes that could sound a little overproduced to like 2004. He said he checked in with his friend to see if she remembered some of those details. Her response, ha ha, so close. The bus driver was from Kennett, Missouri, but yes, all of that is true. They were cool dudes except for Blank, who was kind of a douche, later kicked out of the band for hitting on an underage girl. Well, it sounds like it was much worse than that.
Yeah.
They would play acoustic versions of NSYNC songs on the bus, and we would play board games while debating about zombie films. Good times. That's fun.
Yeah,
that's sweet. I like that bus driver story. That's
me too.
That makes me like them a lot more.
Yeah.
Let's see. All I remember, Joshua Sorrell writes, all I remember is that I read an article many years ago about how the punks are the Warped Tour. How the punks, maybe he means at the Warped Tour, hated them. There's layers to that. I don't know about all that.
Yeah, sure.
A lot of comments on this one. I'm only going to read a couple more. Let's see here. Isaac Lamford says, I went with my friend's band to Warped Tour. I was trying to find a way backstage and went through the crowd watching Newfound Glory. As security checked my badge and let me through, a herd of teenage girls started screaming at me and threatening me because they thought I was going to meet their beloved band. And now I realize it was Simple Plan and not Newfound Glory. So a waste of a story, but thanks anyway. That's my bad.
Well, Simple Plan's from Montreal. Not a total waste, huh? Look, yeah, that's the connection. That's okay. Isaac, it was relevant. Don't worry about it. We made it happen.
It's all good, buddy. Pamela Ross says, I saw them with Hot Rod Circuit, Less Than Jake, and Good Charlotte, cringe, in 2003. They were great live. Man, so many. Tyler Snodgrass says, I could not tell you the difference between Newfound Glory, All American Rejects, and Simple Plan for $1 million. I don't put All American Rejects in that group personally, but hey, whatever.
I agree. They're not, they were just from a similar era, and that's it. Like, they're all under the pop punk umbrella, but that's the only resemblance. There isn't enough there to, yeah.
It sucks because we'd saved up $1 million from the Patreon. We made this big check we were going to give to Tyler if he could tell them about it.
But he blew it, and that's too bad.
Yeah.
Let's go to the Twitter on top of this. All right. So we posted the same thing on Twitter. Someone wrote, those From the Screen to Your Stereo EPs are amazing, especially the first one. All covers of famous movie songs, all awesome, super inspiring. Would smash. Whoa. Keep on doing that thing you do, Piss Daddies. I like Piss Daddies. That's fun. Kevin Lopkovich, enemy of the show, writes, all downhill from here, has one of the best choruses of the mall punk era. Well, fuck you, Kevin. I don't care. 7th Kevin writes, their new album rules, their version of The Glory of Love rules. Mm-hmm. King of Wookiees writes, hit or miss is their best song, also apt for their music. And, Mary Offman says, in high school, I made what would now be considered a hype video set to that song and clips of my cross-country team running down a huge, muddy hill. Shout out Veterans Acres. The song is all downhill from here, which makes sense. That all makes sense. thank you, Mary, and everybody else who sent in messages. That's the show today, but before we give the ratings here, Mike, it's your turn to have the final word on Newfound Glory. What have you got to say for yourself?
I think they rule, dude. I love Newfound Glory. Sticks and Stones and Catalyst are fantastic albums. They've got some really solid bangers after and up to that point, but those two albums are fantastic, and I recommend them to anybody who liked the sampling that I put together. They rule. Like, it's an easy thing to put on in the car if I feel like driving and not listening to a podcast, or if I, you know, have a buddy in the car and we just want to sing along to something fun. So it's easy, baby. I love it. It's like a old Fallout Boy. It makes me happy, and I don't know. It's fun, dude. It rules. And do I give my rating? Because I got
not yet. Okay. You go last. all right, so I'll go ahead and go. I want to be as fair as I can here. This is not a band that I will go back and listen to. It's just not. Like I said, Fall Out Boy does for me what this does for you, and I understand that. Listening to this, I realized that if I had listened to this at that time, I would be into them, and a lot of it is really good, and I like the guy's voice well enough for this type of music. And it is kind of nice that it's just kind of, you know, fun. I liked My Friends Over You. Failure's Not Flattering I liked a lot. Hit or Miss was hit or miss for me. Something I Call Personality was all right. I'm gonna go with a solid 4. I'm gonna give this a 4 out of 6. I did enjoy it, but I would never go back and listen to it. It didn't catch me in any way that I was like, oh, I can't wait to hear this again. I'll probably not go back to this. And the best part of the playlist was right when it ended and Ocean Avenue started.
Hell yeah.
From Yellow Card. I really enjoyed that. I was going to go back and skip it. And then I was like, no, I'm leaving this one to play. It's a good song. Even though Yellow Card is famously our worst episode. With Ari Finling.
talked about that in a while.
That's from episode 3, I think, or something like that. Anyway, that's my rating, and I'm sticking to it. 4 out of 6, baby.
Well, this is crazy because before you said that, I was also going to give it a 4 out of 6.
We've been on the same page lately. It's crazy.
I came to it from a different way. The only song I flat out didn't like was "Too Good to Be."
Yeah, that definitely put a ding in the old score for me as well.
I think a lot of bands from this era would have their like slow song, their romantic song, and I just think this doesn't do it as well as a lot of ones that I'm thinking of. It just wasn't for me. I love My Friends Over You. I always will. It's a defining song of that era for me, and I had a lot of fun watching the video and going back to it. And then, yeah, the other song, I knew All Downhill from Here, and I knew Hit or Miss, and I like those songs a lot. So that gives us a 3. And then for Failure's Not Flattering and Something I Call Personality, I didn't know those ones. I didn't dislike them, but I'm giving a 0.5 each for those. So that's how
fair
I got
enough.
To 4. Yeah.
Fair enough. Couple 4, boys. And Mike, you get to close it out. What is your rating of this playlist?
I'm going to go ahead and call it a 6, dude. Hard 6. Easy pick for me. Failure's Not Flattering. Solid banger. All Downhill from Here is the popular tune. You can't do without it. My Friends Over You. Classic. Something I Call Personality. You need a circle pit somewhere. Hit or miss is like their first ever big single. You got to include it in Too Good to Be. What? You don't like Falling in Love? Get out of here.
A cynical man.
What do you think about this, Mike? When I get excited, I'm a hard 6.
Dude, you know what? Fuck yeah, dude. Congratulations on that, man. Good for you.
Mike, I'm pumped to listen to your album, man. That's awesome that you have it coming
out.
Yeah.
Again, it's called Cherubic. Is that right?
Yeah, Cherubic. Yeah. I'm a Cherubic baby. Little baby boy Cherubic. And
Cherubic, check it out. That's Mike Carozzi. He did, if you like the theme song, that's him, very show and of Worst Song on Spotify. He's a good man. He made us those songs, and we like him a lot. And we appreciate you, Mike. Thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you so much.
For sure. And yeah, check out the album. You can pre-order it now or you can get it September 4th. Is that correct?
September 4th, yeah, on Blonde Medicine.
September 4th on Blonde Medicine. I assume it'll be everywhere you listen to your comedy albums. So yeah. Get on there, Cherubic, and get Tommy's vinyl as well. Who's Tommy?
Yeah. I put up the YouTube video of the recording.
Yes.
So that's in my pinned tweet right now. I'm trying to get the views up on that if anyone is interested.
Oh, I didn't even know.
Go look at that. It's one of the best nights of comedy I've been a part of. So
you
fun.
Tom, you see Tom up top?
Hell yeah. Wait, did you put my set in there?
No. Not just the intro, but it does make me very nostalgic for you.
I really loved your album. Yes. It was such a good time. And the album, like the album cover is so fucking funny. The umbrella.
It was very debated in our group, but it's a beautiful album cover. I love it.
Oh yeah.
And it's right. It's like right across from where we used to live. It makes me nostalgic. Anyway, get on that. Get on the Patreon if you're not already on there for bonus episodes. Hear why we're mad at Kevin. And $3 a month, $6 if you want a koozie. And it's the best deal in town, and we appreciate it. All right, that's going to do it for this week. We will see you next time. Keep it crispy. Bye.